Now it's time for Inspirational Women and my guest, Maria Liberati, a gourmand, world award-winning author and blogger of a fun and engaging Italian cookbook, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. Get ready for both a trip to and a taste of Italy as Maria shares stories of her family and life both in the U.S. and in her return to family roots in Italy. Maria Liberati, good morning. Thank you so greatly for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I am very excited to have this opportunity to talk food because, as a cookbook author, as a celebrity chef, of course, food and things around food really are top of the list for you, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So you're
all about this food.
So with this being your life, Maria, how did you come to being a celebrity chef? What led you down this career path?
Yes, well, that is a really interesting story, and I'll try to kind of condense it as much as possible. So my family is from Italy, and, so we always had these big Italian, Sunday dinners and always cooking with family on Sundays. The kitchen at my both sets of grandparents' house was always filled with, just everybody cooking together. Of course, I just thought everybody did that. And what happened was when my grandparents passed away, I really wanted to learn about, my Italian roots and family and all of that more. And I ended up getting the opportunity to model. I was actually model in Italy. And while I was there, I ended up researching my family history and roots and finding out that my grandparents were heavily involved in the culinary arts. My grandfather, my dad's dad, his family had a big winery in the mountains of Abruzzo, and they used to make and sell the local wine, local bread, local cheese. And my grandmother, who was my dad's mom, her family had a bakery, and I was able to find a cookbook that was from my grandmother's sister, my great aunt, who actually helped run the bakery and got to kind of look at recipes. And then basically I just started falling in love with the food there. It's just such a different thing than it is in the U.S. And I ended up going to culinary school there. And because I spoke Italian and English, I would get asked to do a lot of cooking programs at different resorts that tourists would go to. Because generally, Italians don't go to cooking schools. It's handed down, in your family. So it was always a lot of tourists that were attending all these, different cooking programs that these beautiful wineries would have. And basically my cookbook came out of all of that. And I lived in Italy for about 20 years, not constantly, but I was living there for months at a time, going back and forth. And like I said, I went to culinary school there. So it really helped me connect more with kind of my family history also. It was kind of a cathartic experience as well. And so that's pretty much, it in a nutshell.
What a beautiful nutshell.
Yes.
What an incredible experience. I mean, that feels so ideal to, live in Italy, you come back to America, and to have that flexibility, but you have the roots there. You have roots in both places. So, I mean, that just feels so rich.
Yes, yes, it does. And when I was living there, it would be like, wait a minute, because one place felt like home and the other place felt like home too. So it was interesting because it's two different very, you know, different cultural experiences. When you're living in Italy, it's a lot different than in the U.S. But it was pretty, I used to love the different, you know, the different kind of ambiance, the contrast is what I'm trying to say, that would happen, you know, after I would come back from Italy. You know, I was so used to being on this like slower paced schedule. And then I come back to the U.S. and it's like run, you know, do everything quickly and fast. So it was interesting, the contrast.
So which really feels better? What really is feeding you better? Which pathway?
Which pathway? You mean being
culturally
in Italy or being in the U.S.?
Yes.
Well, I have to say, you know, I love Italy, and I know that's part of my history, but I still feel, I just feel that, you know, it's there and I love that, and I love that that's part of my history and I can experience it. But just because I grew up in the U.S. and more of my family's here now, I kind of feel, I think, more connected just to the U.S. because that's where I grew up. But I feel so fortunate that I am able to, you know, just go in Italy and kind of live like it's my second home also. It's not foreign to me, you know, and I can, when I'm there, I'm not really a tourist. I'm actually living there, like, you know, almost like I'm part of, you know. So, but I just feel a little more connected to my roots in the U.S., although, you know, I have strong feelings for my roots in Italy, too. So I think it's kind of a little difficult if I have to decide.
Oh, so, and no need to decide either. I mean, the fact that you can do both is, what a gift.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes, I always felt, you know, I consider it a gift, and I'm very grateful that, you know, my grandparents were not wealthy by any means, so they didn't really leave much to us. However, I always think, wow, they left me so much. They gave me so much, you know, my grandparents did, just by giving me that, the history and the culture that I experienced with them. I didn't really realize it until I got older and until I lived in Italy, and I realized the things that I experienced that, you know, I just took for granted that everybody else experienced. My love of opera, we used to, you know, have opera records playing when we would be eating Sunday dinner. My grandmother was like an amateur opera singer. And so I had an understanding and a love for opera and, you know, the culture that they gave me. Of course, my parents loved it also, but they gave me so many things that are just priceless, and I am grateful for that, definitely.
The things of life that really are meaningful, not the stuff, but just it, really
exactly.
The culture.
Yeah. Wow. Exactly, very meaningful, yes.
And of course, what helps you being in Italy, speaking the language, that also was just invaluable that you grew up speaking the two languages.
Exactly. That was very invaluable. And of course, I became more fluent in it when I was there, having to use it every day. Not a lot of people do speak English in Italy, but when people would speak English or try to, I was like, no, I wanted to, I'm in Italy, I want to speak Italian and really, you know it even more so than, you know, but yes, exactly. It was really beneficial that I was able to speak the language as well.
So all of this really is so fundamental, I think, to your then creating your cookbook, and it's in its second edition, and then you have offshoots of the cookbook, which I noticed from your website. So yes. It just gives it that authenticity, I feel, with your roots there and living there as well, that what we have in the recipes and looking at the holidays really is something quite unique or very special for sure.
Yes, definitely, yes. Yes, that's why I wanted to put it all into a book, but I wanted the book to not be just a cookbook with recipes. I just felt that the experiences, my experiences in Italy and the things that relate to the food and the recipes were so important to convey. So my book is more like a culinary memoir with recipes. More so than, actually all of my books are, more so than just recipes, yes.
Which really is a wonderful experience to have that as memoir rather than, so that we know what has come with this, so that we have more of a story around a particular meal or a recipe.
Yes. Right? Yes. Exactly. That's what I wanted to create. And that's really the beauty of Italian food. Of course, it tastes wonderful. But, you know, every meal that I had there almost, and every special dish, you know, there's a memory related to that, the place that I ate at. And, you know, there's so many memories that are created or related to a lot of the foods or the ingredients that I studied about and things like that. So, you know, the food there, I think one of the draws of the food, or I don't want to say advantage, but the food, it's delicious, but it's also that there's so much connected to it, history and culture, and there's a lot more connection with food, you know, than just putting ingredients together, you know, as far as Italian food is.
Right.
I wanted people to have an experience, which I think food is there. It's definitely an experience.
Being the experience, then, is there a particular dish or particular food that really stands out to you, that really is what is at the core of Italian food, that it means to you?
Well, there's actually a lot of dishes, but I know, like, one of, you know, I have a couple of dishes that I really love. So I love to do risotto. I just love risotto. It's good for you, and you can make it meatless. You could put meat in it. You could put lots of vegetables in it. You can have special ingredients in it. You know, there's a strawberry one that I do for Valentine's Day, or you can put saffron in it with different vegetables and make it delicious. So that's one of my three favorites. Then I love pizza. I think pizza is just one of I know Americans love pizza. It's, I think, one of our most popular foods. And it's so easy to make, and it's simple, and everybody loves it. And it's the same thing. It's really versatile. And then I have to say lasagna is my other favorite food. And that is sort of the dish that you do for special occasions in Italy. So Christmas Day, you make lasagna. You know, you have the Feast of the Seven Fishes on Christmas Eve, but Christmas Day, you do a lasagna. And sometimes even New Year's Day, you do a lasagna. And I can remember, so when my grandmother came over here from Italy, she had that in her mind. So, you know, they experience Thanksgiving here, but when we would go there to their house for Thanksgiving, she would make the lasagna, and then it would be the turkey and potatoes and everything else. So by the time we got to that, it was like hardly anybody was eating the turkey. So, but lasagna has so many special memories for me, you know, from all the special occasions that we used to have lasagna. And I love making lasagna. And there's so many different ways to make it, too. You don't have to make it the traditional way that everybody thinks with the sauce and the ricotta and meatballs. You can do it many different ways. One of my favorite ways is to do it with like a bechamel sauce and mushrooms and truffles. And that's one of my favorite ways to do the lasagna, or a meatless one where at one point when the Italians really, when they couldn't get meat, so instead of putting meat in the lasagna, they would actually put sliced eggs in there instead of the meat. And it's really, really good if you've never tried it. Really good. So I like doing that. That you can do as a meatless lasagna with the ricotta or just the mozzarella, sliced eggs, the sauce. And, you know, you bake that and, oh, my gosh, it's so good. Of course, you have to have olive oil, garlic, you know, some fresh basil, but. Yep, that's great too. So those, I think, are my favorite, definitely my favorite dishes to cook and to do. And there's a lot of special memories around those dishes.
Now the pizza, it seems to me that pizza that we have in the U.S. would be different than the pizza in Italy. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, I mean, in most cases, there are some places that you can find that do make it a little similar, because now there are a lot of like wood burning ovens that pizza places that have the wood burning ovens. And but, you know, generally, you know, if you're not going to a place that has the real Neapolitan pizza, which is not a whole lot of mozzarella, it's just a little bit and a little bit of sauce and fresh basil, you know, and extra virgin olive oil. But yes, a lot of the pizza places in the U.S. tend to really overdo the mozzarella and the tomato sauce and the oils and stuff like that. And they're probably not using the extra virgin olive oil. But yes, it is different. It is different. But, you know, one thing is it's really easy to make at home. People can make it at home. And the other thing, actually, I have a lot of video and recipes on my website, because I interview a lot of, they're called pizzaiola, these people that specialize in, they're pizza makers. And that's the Italian word for like a pizza chef, the pizzaiola. And the one thing that Americans do wrong, or not Americans, but just people in general do wrong, when you make a pizza, you have to cook the crust first, and then you take the pizza out, and then you put the sauce and the cheese on top, and then you cook it again till the cheese is nice and bubbly. Mm. So if you do that, it does not come out too, you know, like mushy and stuff. I notice a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I just put the sauce on and, you know, and then I put it in the oven. But you have to, you know, put your oven up as high as it will go to kind of get that wood burning oven type of thing in your oven. Put it up as high as it will go, preheat it before you put the pizza in the oven, and cook the crust first, and then top it, and then put it in again to make the cheese nice and bubbly and warm the topping. So that's the best way to try and get the same type of pizza that, yes, that you're used to in Italy. But it's generally thinner in Italy. It's thinner. It's not as heavy as it is here.
It's so bready here. It's
yes,
a lot
it
of
is.
Dough.
It's so bready. It is. It's just too bready. So I tend to just make my own.
Uh-huh. And you were mentioning that some of these interviews that you've done with the, is it pizzaioli?
It's called pizzaiola. Yes, yeah, P-I-Z-Z-A, I think it's O-I-L-O, pizzaiolo. Uh-huh. They're pizza chefs. And that's the Italian word for an expert, like a pizza expert, a pizza chef.
And this can be found at your website. So let's just mention
it
the
can
website.
Be, yes, it can be found on my website, I've done a lot of podcasts on pizza, especially when, like, we just had National Pizza Day. I think it was February 9th. So I did an interview with a pizza person, but I had I've had a few people on. Yes, that's all on my podcast. I have lots of interviews, and then I do have the recipes on my website also, a lot of different recipes and tips from the pizza makers, yes.
And that is simply your name, very easy, marialiberati.com.
Exactly,
right?
Yes.
Right. And then I have to go back to your favorite, because I also just have this love, but I don't get enough of it, is for risotto. There's something about it that's so just amazing.
It is. It is, and it's comforting. It's kind of like a comfort food. It's very warming. You know, I love it. It's good in the summer, but I really love it in the winter. I just love the risotto in the winter. It's kind of, I consider it like a comfort food. And if you get, there's two types of rice that you can use for risotto. There's arborio, and then there's carnaroli. Carnaroli is a step up from arborio. It's not always easy to find, but if you use carnaroli, oh my goodness, it's a lot creamier. Arborio is good, and people should know, just in case they don't know, you can't make risotto with just like any rice. It has to be either arborio or carnaroli rice. And, but as I said, if you try it with a carnaroli, oh my goodness, it is just so good. Really, really good. Yes.
And as you were mentioning, you can do so much with it. So, you know, during this month of March, when some of us observe Lent and we're looking at Meatless Fridays, risotto could maybe be a really excellent dish.
Yes, risotto is an excellent dish. I had just had one with fresh asparagus. I did asparagus. Oh, my goodness. Asparagus and mushrooms. It was just so good. But you can even do a simple one. I love it with peas. Peas are wonderful. And if it's, you know, the time of year where you can't get them fresh, which we can't, I know in the Northeast we can't, you know, get fresh frozen ones. Canned, don't do that. But fresh frozen ones are great too. And, you know, there's so much you can do with risotto instead of, on Fridays, instead of just having to do, okay, we have to do seafood again. Risotto makes a perfect dish to do. And you can really put in any vegetables that you want. If you want to make a special touch, add a little bit of saffron, like the end of cooking. Oh, it's so good. And one of my favorite things to do when I do make risotto, I notice it makes a big difference in the flavor, is I use, before I start adding in the liquid for it to cook the risotto, the first thing I add in is some dry white wine or a champagne. So that actually, something like a dry white wine or a dry champagne or any kind of, or a dry Prosecco. Just add in like maybe about a cup of that and let the rice soak all that in. Of course, the alcohol burns off. So if somebody can't have alcohol, alcohol burns off and you're just left with the flavor. But it just adds so much flavor to the dish. It adds a big difference. It's like a small touch, but it does make a big difference. So, that's something great to add to risotto to give it a special touch. And if you're, you know, if it's a holiday meal, you can serve the dish with you can cook with whatever special wine. If you want to use, you know, serve a Prosecco or a special white wine, cook the dish with that, and then also serve it with that wine or sparkling wine.
And speaking of the wines and what to serve with what, that is another wonderful feature in your cookbook, is being able to have those accompaniments that you provide.
Yes, well, I did get to study a lot of wines living in Italy, and I was fortunate to be able to do cooking programs at some of the most beautiful wineries in Italy. So, and there, the wines have, a lot of wines have a lot of history and interesting stories related to them. So yes, I do in my cookbook pair, the wines to some of the dishes if you want to, you know, if you want to serve a wine. Yes.
Mm. Wow, it's sounding so marvelous, and I think I'm getting hungry. But that's a good thing, because through the pages of the your incredible cookbook, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, we can find so much that's really special and really not necessarily too complicated. You really walk us through the recipes really easily, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes, Italian cooking is really very, it's kind of simple. It's simple, it's basic. It's really not complicated. French cooking is very complicated. And the one thing about Italian cooking, it's just, it's very simple and basic. And so the most of the traditional, you know, recipes are simple and basic, and I did try to highlight that, you know, especially those recipes in my book. And most of the recipes that I have in my books are recipes that I work through also with in cooking courses, classes that I did. So I kind of made sure that they were simple enough for someone, you know, to cook, but yet, you know, I kept with the specialness of the recipe. So, so yes, they're, you know, the recipes are simple enough. They're special recipes. They're not, most of them are not your everyday recipe, but they are definitely, you know, I think most home cooks could, even beginning home cooks can take to.
And I think what's wonderful here is that you've taken what had been your roots and you explored more in Italy and you've compiled these recipes and we get to enjoy them. But you talk about how it was such a family gathering. So I feel that this is the opportunity we have, is to make this more of a coming together event rather than just going into the kitchen and cooking it yourself, which can happen, but include others.
Exactly. Yes. Whoever you include, it makes it such a fun event, and there's a connection there that you develop. And again, as I mentioned at the beginning of our interview, we used to do that on, you know, on Sundays and on holidays with like my whole family, all my cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents. And I just thought that was, everybody did that. And when I started doing my cookbook and cooking classes and appearances, you know, for book signings, it was like I was finding out that no, not everybody did that. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, not everybody had that experience. So yes, you need to do that. Just, you know, cook in the kitchen. Even if, you know, we can't, everybody has busy lives today. So you're not going to be, you may not be able to do it every day, but whenever you can, even if it's like a once a month thing, gather friends together and family together, it makes such a wonderful connection through the food that you cook. And you're able to really develop a connection, and you know, it makes for nice memories also, because, you know, who knows, something may not come out right, or it may come out absolutely delicious, or you might have one thing that is like, oh my gosh, how did we make that? Or, wow, I can't believe we made that. So like you're creating all these memories in the kitchen, all these, you know, all these fun memories, and, you know, take pictures. Now everybody's on social media with, you know, taking pictures of the stuff that they cook. So take pictures, do your own, you know, if you want to do a blog with family, you know, family recipes or family get-togethers. And it doesn't have to be family. It could be friends too. Mm-hmm. If you don't have other people in your family that you can cook with or whatever, gather friends together. There's nothing better than connecting through food. It's really a lovely way. I can't describe it any other way, but it is a lovely and a fun way to connect. Yes.
Well, with your sharing with us how you came to creating the cookbook yourself, seeing that journey from childhood through the travels to Italy and being with family. I think that really does give us the inspiration of what meaning that exists there and what we can do in our own lives to create that and make it such a special time for our kids and for extended family and for friends.
Definitely, definitely. To make the time in the kitchen, you know, a special, special time. You can really make any day or any time, you know, a special time by just gathering together, you know, and cooking. And it doesn't have to be complicated stuff you're cooking. As I mentioned, like most of the recipes in my book are pretty basic and easy enough to follow. So just cook some simple things. You know, it's not meant to be cooking something complicated. You know, cook something simple so you can also kind of concentrate on being together.
Right. Yes. Well, then, to get some cooking tips and some recipes and to learn more about Maria Liberati and her cookbook series, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, please just simply visit marialiberati.com. And Maria, this has been just such great fun, so interesting. I'm just so appreciative of the time you've spent with us today.
Thank you so much. And I just wanted to mention, too, I have the Maria Liberati Show podcast, and my YouTube channel is the Maria Liberati Show, too, so people can kind of see videos of the different cooking that we do on the podcast. Yes. Yes. And thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's been great fun. And as I say, it's making me hungry.
Yes.
That brings us to the end of a very full hour of Inspirational Women with Maria Liberati and Sunday Morning Magazine with Maisha Houston from the Urban League of Metropolitan Seattle. I'm Kate Daniels, your host, and I greatly appreciate your sharing this hour with me and these special guests. For details you might have missed or information you'd like to know, please just send me an email, kated@warm1069.com, and I will get right back to you. Also, if you'd like to listen again or just share these important stories with your family and friends, find the podcast on our Warm 1069 webpage. Just click on the Listen tab, then Podcasts, and then either of the show names, and then look for the guest names. I now wish you and your family a day of great connections with each other, in the family, with each other, in the community. Have a week of the same, and then please plan to join me again next weekend for another hour of Sunday Morning Magazine and Inspirational Women on Warm 106.9. Good morning.